Welcome back to New World Next Week. This is James Corbett of CorbettReport.com.
And this is James Evan Pilato of MediaMonarchy.com. I don't want to eat a piece of chicken that came from a 3D printer. We have got that huge story, plus rage bait. But first, pretty big news as well. FDA to tighten vaccine rules after memo ties COVID-19 shot to child deaths. Grabbing this from thehill.com, every inflammatory remark we make on these shows is actually always sourced and cited down in your show notes. The Food and Drug Administration, the FDA, is set to implement stricter vaccine approval guidelines after a memo claimed at least 10 children died after and because of receiving a COVID-19 shot. That sounds like a lowball number, but I'll take it. The guidelines obtained by the New York Times could also impact vaccinations for other illnesses and viruses, including the FDA standards for the annual flu shots that are always so successful, and if Americans should receive multiple vaccines at a time. The memo also states that shots for pregnant women could be limited, and manufacturers will be required to conduct larger studies before seeking approval for vaccines. Can we still get the complete, you can't sue us? I can already see the future, James. They'll stop making them, or of course, they always just control the spigot. Just like all those wars for oil, it's about the war for the control of the spigot of oil. They'll turn the spigot off of their wonderful vaccines. They'll blame all of us again. It'll be our fault again. Vinay Prasad, a top vaccine regulator at the FDA, said pneumonia vaccine manufacturers must show that their treatments reduce the infection instead of merely developing antibodies to fight it. The new restrictions would also require drug manufacturers to run larger studies that would slow the process of developing vaccines, according to the Washington Post, the other important news agency that also reviewed the memo. Prasad, who was reinstated to his post in August after being ousted amid conservative criticism, announced other changes that included a requirement for randomized studies to include all subgroups. He also referred to the annual flu shot framework as a catastrophe of low quality evidence. It's not like these things are being approved without strong scientific evidence, Jesse Goodman, the FDA's former chief scientist, told the Post, noting that guidelines are already quite strict. They're being approved with strong, effective evidence. Evidence needed. The memo does not go into detail about the alleged COVID vaccine-related child deaths. Prasad called the finding a profound revelation, according to the Post. For the first time, the U.S. FDA will acknowledge the COVID-19 vaccines have killed American children. And we were discussing this on My Morning Monarchy this morning, remembering just all of the insanity of the scamdemic era. But thankfully, a doctor out there sent me the blank inserts you could find in many of the rushed Operation Warp Speed MAGA jabs. Just trust the science. I don't even know where, I can't even read it to trust it. They're calling it the FDA memo that shakes the world. That is from brownstone.org. Meanwhile, vaccine stocks drop after FDA memo links COVID shots to child deaths. And from the Corbett Report asking the question, can the COVID scamsters stick the landing? Meaning, can they still get away scot-free?
Yes, and unfortunately, they might very well do just that. In fact, they have so far, so what's going to change that? Well, maybe this memo is the start of the breaking of the dam, and I know for a lot of people, they're going to say, exactly as you correctly observed at the beginning, well, I think it's probably more than 10, right? But even the memo itself actually acknowledges that. It says this is a no doubt conservative number, but we're going with the most conservative number that we have right now because we don't have enough research on this, et cetera, et cetera. So, yes, I get that people will be underwhelmed in our audience might be underwhelmed by a statement like this. Oh, big deal, big whoop. We've known this all along. Well, what we are dealing with here is not a political figure. It's not MAHA as a political slogan. What we are dealing with is the seeping down into the public consciousness of the level of the scam that has taken place here. And it is, of course, tempting to just give into the schadenfreude of seeing the mainstream legacy press melting down over this and, oh my God, what are they doing? But we really should be outraged, absolutely outraged to our core that this has taken place and that they have so far utterly failed to acknowledge it and tried to sweep it under the rug. This is the beginning of lifting up part of the rug. And I know that's not enough. We have to take the rug and vacuum up all the crap underneath, but it's the beginning of that process. So I hope that this will lead to other things, and this will be the beginning of that snowball rolling down the hill, and the beginning of something that might approach, at the very least, if not actual justice, with people going to prison for what they have done, at the very least, at the title change in public opinion and understanding. And I think that's already happened to some extent, because all of the people who were saying worship the science and trust Emperor Fauci and anything that comes from the CDC and the FDA and all of these, the NHS, all of these people are utterly unquestionable. Well, guess what? Now even they have to admit that these institutions are fundamentally political, run by political people for political processes. Even if they disagree with what this FDA memo is saying, now they have to admit, yeah, it's a political process. And so we don't have to listen to this FDA. We should have listened to the Biden FDA, because they're wonderful and but now they at least have to admit that this is not about science. This is about politics. Anyway, all that being said, can the COVID scamster stick the landing? I will exhort people to go and read that. Obviously, the clot shot agenda was definitely part of that. And who knows, we might be in the process of turning this gigantic ship of biosecurity state around and heading towards something approaching a more rational approach to gigantic medical interventions. Let's all hold our breath and wait. Anyway, it's the beginning, and we'll see where it goes from here.
James, I've never really gotten over it at all. And even just now thinking, imagine your feelings in 2006 in regards to 9/11 truth and lies for World War. If we could grab that kind of energy again and hold on to that again, it's only been 5 years since this, what I call the greatest scam of our lifetimes so far. That is how we get going on New World Next Week, episode 611. Our second story, another biggie. Campbell's Soup vice president out after saying it's for poor people with meat from a 3D printer. Grabbing this from the Organic Prepper, who note in their headline, they have to fix their tab headline, James. Language is a weapon. Campbell's Soup, a brand so iconic that Andy Warhol captured it on one of his most famous works of pop art in a leaked recording. It was revealed that the soups contained lab-grown meat. Really, well, I know the didn't have that on my bingo card as an overused phrase, but that's definitely on there. Chicken that came from a 3D printer. Campbell's strenuously refutes this comment, though the company does use genetically modified ingredients such as canola, corn, soybeans, sugar beets. Robert Garza is our whistleblower hero in this case. He was a cybersecurity analyst for Campbell's, and he had a meeting at a restaurant. This is straight up Project Veritas kind of style. At a meeting at a restaurant with Martin Bally, one of Campbell's vice presidents. Companies don't have a vice president like America has a vice president. They've got tons of them. They were hanging out to discuss his salary. He secretly recorded statements made by the VP and Chief Information Security Officer during a November 2024 meeting. And I know it might sound strange, but I always tape everything. Any kind of calls, any kind of interviews. It's really just kind of good practice. I don't do anything with the recordings. You take them in case in the future someone purports that you said something you didn't say and you've got your own backup. You got to have your own guardian drone protecting you at all times, James. In a rant that lasted over an hour, a speaker identified as Martin Bally is heard saying, quote, "We have isht for effing poor people. Who buys our isht? I don't buy Campbell's products barely anymore. It's not healthy now that I know what the F's in it." He also referenced bioengineered meat, saying, quote, "I don't want to eat a piece of chicken that came from a 3D printer." Bud Light, Cracker Barrel could not be reached for comment. James, this is shocking the word again. It's just all the masks are all falling off, to use a mixed scamdemic phrase there, James. But had you heard about this one?
I had heard about it. And here's my take on it. So this is the VP and Chief Information Security Officer. So I don't know the extent to which he knows the day-to-day operations of what's going into these products. But two things to note. One is that, as the company itself notes, yes, well, okay, no, we're not using 3D printed chicken, but we are using genetically modified canola, corn, soybeans, and sugar beets. So that should be enough reason for people to reject this isht, as we're saying here. But But it does remind me, it reminds me very specifically, back in university, I took a course on Marx and Engels, a philosophy course, and there was a student in that course who was the conspiracy guy. Believe it or not, I was not the conspiracy guy in that class. And I remember he was an interesting character. In fact, he went to the battle in Seattle and he, you know, all that stuff that was going on. And so he knew a thing or two about a thing or two, but he also had the zany off the wall stuff. And I remember one time he was talking about, you know, KFC chickens aren't real chickens. They're growing them in labs, man. And someone pointed out, you know, wouldn't it cost so much more for them to grow chicken in labs than to just have chickens? And to which he had no adequate response. In this case, I tend to think, yeah, I'm not sure I do believe that they are using actual 3D printed chicken yet, because it probably would be much more expensive than just using chickens that they raise in their factory farm system. But anyway, but if we do want a conspiracy take on this, you know, I would say, it's like so many things. They do seed it into the public consciousness before it becomes a reality. And we know that they're trying to head towards the lab printed meat, you know, reality of the future. And how do you start that conversation? How do you break down the walls of people's immediate ick reaction to that? You have to start seeding it ahead of time. And now, of course, the fact checkers can come along and say, well, actually, Campbell's isn't using 3D printed chicken. Man, those crazy conspiracy theorists are talking about this. But it's that process I've talked about so many times. That doesn't exist. That doesn't exist. You're crazy for even talking about that. That doesn't exist. That doesn't. And eventually it becomes, yes, that exists. And it's a good thing. We've seen that so many times in so many different ways. I have a feeling that's part of what the long-term agenda is here. I don't know to what extent this is playing into it. But why is this conversation from a year ago getting attention now in December of 2025? It seems like that only happens when there is some sort of agenda to be pushed, at least in introducing this to the public conversation.
When dude should have probably just leaked it, and then it would have all been out. I mean, I would imagine that's why this is all taking so long. This is being covered in mainstream, lamestream media because it's hit basically the legal route. So because the lawyers are now involved, I'm sure it suddenly became okay for them to cover and go on television to start to talk about this. Again, a lot of limited hangouts. We are
hangouts. I have a breaking news update. Apparently, our organic prepper has changed the tab headline. It is now it's with an apostrophe. So they were listening to you.
you know how I'm a word nerd to get all messed up. So stick with me here. Maybe part of his job is cybersecurity was keeping all of this a secret and not letting people find out. And the question asked in my chat this morning, would that actually maybe be healthier, the 3D printing, than all the weird GMOs that we know are already in there? Also, isht, for poop backwards. That's, you know, that's how we edit rap songs here in the radio biz. James, we are, when you turn, you flip the word around backwards. That's what it sounds like. You go, isht. Zigga, please. We're 2 for 3 on limited hangout stories as we get punchy here towards the end of 2025. Again, I work in radio. That's what happens when you reverse the stuff. It's the easiest way to edit music instead of going back to the artist or the label asking, can you send us a radio clean copy for this? You could just do it yourself. We're 2 for 3 on limited hangout stories. Let's see how we do for our third and final. As OPB writes, that is Oregon Public Broadcasting, don't get angry, but the 2025 Oxford Word of the Year is rage bait. That's two words. Again, word nerd. They should call it the Pop Hall of Fame, not the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame that has rappers and Dolly Parton in it. Words are weapons. Ban all the knives. Makes you wonder how the other half lies. Take a deep breath and think of your happy place. Rage bait is the Oxford Word of the Year. After 3 days of online voting by more than 30,000 participants, Oxford University Press announced Monday that rage bait is the official pick, beating out fellow shortlist nominees Aura Farming and Biohack. which is actually one word, defined as online content deliberately designed to elicit anger or outrage by being frustrating, provocative, or offensive. Rage bait is typically posted in order to increase traffic or engagement with a particular web page or social media account. This, according to Oxford, when internet content produces a charged and negative emotional reaction from viewers, whether intentionally or not, it likely falls into the category of rage bait. Before the term entered the English lexicon around 2002, so it only took a couple decades, the internet was focused on grabbing our attention by sparking curiosity in exchange for clicks, says Casper Grathwall, president of Oxford Languages Division at Oxford University Press. Now we've seen a dramatic shift to it, hijacking and influencing it, our emotions and how we respond. Again, is this for people that just got the... I hear there's jerks on the internet. In recent months, the word gained popularity after Weinstein widget Jennifer Lawrence revealed she has a secret TikTok account she uses to get in fights with strangers online. Oxford calls ragebait the internet's most effective hook, used to stimulate that ever-sensitive feeling of human anger existing, though perhaps in different forms, within us all. And they're growing it quite well this last 5 to 10 years. This year, says Oxford, has been a year defined by the transformation of humanity in a tech-driven world. Again, all this just happened. They list deepfake celebrities, AI-generated influencers, and things we've called on this show out for the previous decades as examples of tech seeping into our minds and particularly our emoticons. Is it possible to be rage-baited by ChatGPT or rage-bait the chatbot itself? Perhaps now more than ever. But it's not just machine learning technologies that can rage bait their users or vice versa. General social unrest and concerns over digital well-being caused usage of the word to spike in 2025. For the past few years, Oxford Press and every other day late, dollar short, cash grabber has used social media to gather public opinions on its word of the year shortlist. This year, they intentionally used their Zuckergram page to run a digital campaign for these three shortlisted words. So the word of the year was chosen by girls who like to type on the picture app. Ragebait personified as an anonymous individual wearing what appears to be an alien lizard mask, because conspiracy is super hot cha-ching business. I'm glad you're mad, reads the blurb on its campaign poster, intentionally misspelled. You are. Is it any surprise that last year's word of the year was brain rot? And we do have the official press release, Oxford Ragebait press release. Again, this is not new news by any stretch of the imagination, and it's twice as many syllables as troll. It's troll. You know trolling? Again, St. Carlin would grudge love this timeline, James.
Yeah, it's so many. I gotta hand it. I'm glad you're mad, Y-O-U-R. That is brilliant. That is rage bait in one image. But actually, I will defend. Although Oxford apparently is going with two words, if I was just to write the word rage bait, I would absolutely write it as a compound word. It would be a word if I wrote it, rage bait. But anyway, that being what it is, talk about a word that could have been the word of the year in, 2011 or 2014 or 2017 or any year since, the dawn of the World Wide Web, or at least since the dawn of social media. So what on earth is new about this? I'm not exactly sure. And certainly the word ragebait, or the words ragebait, I have heard many, many times over many years. So this is not at all something that I would define 2025 by. But if you wanted to go for a online word that seemed to come to prominence in 2025, although certainly wasn't coined in 2025, I think we'd have to go with initification. I gotta say it because it is a word. It is not a swear word. And shitification has become, as people know, it was coined by Cory Doctorow. Am I getting that right? Anyway, it was coined years ago. But for some reason, I saw many, many, many articles about it in the last several months. So if you wanted to come with an online word that gained popularity over the past year, maybe that would be more appropriate. Rage bait does not particularly define 2025 to me. What word does particularly define 2025 for me? Well, actually, I just recorded a subscriber video with Sean where we upheld the Japanese tradition every year at the end of the year, there's this Japanese society that has a character, the Japanese use the Chinese characters, right? And they choose one character that defines the year. So me and Sean just recorded a video here where we did that ourselves, and we came up with our own words. So if you are interested in that, if you're a Corbett Report member, you'll be able to sign in and watch that subscriber video this weekend.
Kanji.
Yes.
I mean, they're keeping us mad. They're trying to keep us mad. Oh, the most popular word of the year is definitely rage bait, super freak out, troll, angry, Trump. At least maybe hyphenated rage bait. James, I have it on good authority. Next year's word will be virtual reality. I get to play the exclusive audio of these New World Next Week episodes before it's published anywhere on my radio stream at MediaMonarchy.com/listen after my Thursday morning monarchy. Only me, Sean, Corbett, and Brock have heard it. And really, now, James, and I'm glad we got this one into the can. We were having some technical difficulties. Only one more regular episode after this one before our highly anticipated annual year-end show, New World Next Year 2026. That is coming up Thursday, December 18th, 2025. And we do run newworldnextweek.com. And James, we've got our annual holiday sale coming up, and you've got the deets.
That's right. So for people who don't know, every year I offer a discount code for everyone. All and sundry are welcome to use this code at the New World Next Week store in order to get 25% off any Corbett Report media, as in the USBs or the online courses or the DVDs. Not the merch. Yeah. But if anyone is interested in that from today until December 25th, you can use the Christmas discount code. It is Christmas25. Spelt the full way, not Xmas, not speaking of language as a weapon. No, Christmas. Spell it all out as Christmas25, and you will be able to get 25% off any of that Corbett Report media at the New World Next Week store. For subscribers of the Corbett Report, specifically, if you are a member, the 50% discount code, which will be, again, available on all of that Corbett media at the New World Next Week store, is available from now until December 25th. That code is at the bottom of the most recent newsletter. If you have no idea what that means or how to access it, just contact me, and me or Sean will be able to help you out with that. But that's only for Corbett Report members. Paid up subscribers of the Corbett Report get 50% off.
And discounts do not apply to new products. We have got the Corbett Report 2018 USB just about ready to go on the store. Just showed up today. They are hot off of the presses. So discounts do not apply to brand new products. And again, you've never seen any ads. You've never seen us shilling a bunch of weird products. You've only seen us giving our work. And again, doing this over a combined nearly 40 years. James, that is New World Next Week, episode 611, buddy. I'm glad we were able to get it done.
Absolutely. And only a couple more. And one of those is going to be New World Next Year 2026. So I hope everybody's getting their party festive hats ready and starting to think about the year that was and the year that is ahead. But on that note, let's leave it there for today. James, thanks for these stories.
Thanks so much, buddy. Take care.